This message was preached at the Lagos Convocation within Revive Your Body between the 18th to 21st October 2017 at the Missy Training and Retreat Center along Marylebone Regal Road in Rome. For further inquiries and this and other messages, please contact Refuge Media at Navit Plaza, number 19 Mayero Road, opposite Zipta Model Schools, Narai High Pass, Kirkland. Telephone numbers 0703-456-8035, 0805-845-5719, email thepreciousteam@yahoo.com, website www.preciousteam.org.ng.
Father, tonight, we thank you that you are here. We appreciate your presence that has brought us together. We don't take for granted that what we have seen over the years, even though we are looking for something very big, yet we cannot ignore that there have been mercy drops. You have been visiting men and women here and there all over. Though our hearts yearns for a greater move of your spirit, yet we thank you for what our eyes have seen. Thank you for every life that is here. Thank you for every heart that is yearning for you. Thank you, God, for the extent to which you have moved in our day. Father, we thank you. Lord, we enter into your presence tonight with thanksgiving, and we come into your court with praise. I want to say to you, thank you. Be thou honored and be thou exalted. Lord, we have come with our hearts. We have come with our hearts. And we are asking, O God, do something new with our lives. Amen. We are lifting up our empty vessels. Fill us afresh by your Spirit tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, while we cry for you to revive your body, I will ask you, God, that even tonight, something fresh will come upon our lives. Fresh fire will fall upon our lives. Fresh conviction of your presence, of your power, of your glory will come upon us in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we are prayed. Amen. Who is seated tonight? God bless you. He will do for you much more than your expectation. In the name of Jesus. We're going to read two passages together. We're going to read it responsively. And I will request that when you open your Bible, we'll read one standing, and we'll read another one sitting. We'll read Psalm 80 standing. Psalm 80. I want all of you to stand as we read Psalm number 80 together. And as I read one verse, you read the second until we get to the end of that Psalm, Psalm 80. Are you there? Right, please rise up, give honor to the word of the Lord as we read it together. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou preparest room before it, and this causes it to take deep root, and it fills the land. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. And visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. Verse 19, all of us together, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Did I hear you say amen? Will you say that amen one more time? Amen. Amen. Isaiah 64, we can do that sitting. Isaiah 64, you can sit down as we read that together. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we look not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. Thou waited for him. Thou meetest him that rejoices and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned in those his continuance, and we shall be saved. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our father's place thing is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Will thou not refrain thyself for these things? O Lord, will thou hold thy peace and afflict us very sore? Father, we ask you to please bring increase to your word as we meditate tonight. We ask, O God, that the spirit of revival will come upon us again, and that individuals of us, freshness from your presence will come to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, while we are crying that you will revive your body, we ask that you will start even tonight with as many of us as are seated here. Do something new, do something fresh. Kindle the fire in our souls. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we are prayed. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. May God bless you tonight. This is just going to be the opening charge. And you will notice that the theme for this meeting is revive your body. And as you look at that theme, there are several issues there. But the first critical issue that is coming out there is a prayer. Revive your body. So in the course of this time, we will be considering the body of Christ so as to understand what we are crying for. But then we will also seek to understand what is revival so that we can understand what we are looking for. And we are going to be looking at that kind of concerted prayer and preparation for the outpouring of the Spirit of God that will be coming on our way. And as you look at what God will be dealing with, the Bible study will be deliberately dealing with one very, very critical major hindrance unto revival and to the move of God, the matter of disunity in the body of Christ. The Bible study will be helping us to deal with that. So it's very important that you will prepare your heart to participate fully in that Bible study, because it's a composite part of what God will need to do in our hearts. Because the theme itself is a prayer, what it means that we are going to be praying, even as we bring the Word of God, it is only again to help us to go back to the place of prayer. And as we seek to understand what the body of Christ is, it's only to help us to know how to honestly pray and labor for revival in the body of Christ. And as we shall be understanding what revival is all about, it is also to enable each one of us to be clear-minded about what we are seeking and what we are laboring for God to bring. But tonight, I would like you to look at the passages we have read as a general preamble to what we shall be studying. You will see some very recurrent words that was coming, and they give me a very simple way to define what we are looking for in revival. You will see each of the passages we have read, they raise issues. And that's what I would like to highlight very quickly. I will be looking at what is essential about revival. What is essential about revival? So in other words, I'll be looking at the essence of revival. But I prefer to state it like what is essential. A lot of people thought they're talking about revival. They think it's a revival meeting. They think if a meeting is very loud and many people are singing, that it's already a revival. Or if somebody comes as a motivational speaker and he speaks and everybody seems to vibrate within the period, or we say we're going through, we're having a revival. And so because of that, there are many, many things that people have put together in the name of revival that maybe did not allow even us to have a clear understanding of what is essential in our cry for revival and what is the proper pursuit that we need to pursue when we are seeking God to revive His people and to revive our own lives particularly. And because of that, the intensity of cry, the agony to see God do something in our lives, in our homes, in our churches, and in the body of Christ has been dulled either because of misunderstanding, because of things that we thought was revival when it is not. So as I try tonight to begin to look at what is essential about revival, so that as we cry to God, even yourself, you know what you are seeking, what you are looking for. Psalm 80, in a very simple manner, I brought forth what we want. And if I will spend a bit of time this night without having to go into any serious depth, I will bring issues out of what it is that we are looking for, what is essential about revival. Psalm 80, all of you go back to Psalm 80. There are a few scriptures I will be referring to tonight within the short space that I want to spend here. The Lord will be helping us. Amen. Now, the 19 verses that you see in Psalm 80, it was a cry, a continuous cry for God to do something. And may I quickly note that revival is always the action of God, the supernatural act of God, the act of the Holy Spirit in the midst of His people. Wherever there is revival, it is God who is at work. Men may pray, men may organize, men may arrange, but it is only God that does what? That gives revival. Because revival itself is a restoration of life, a bringing back to life that which has actually died, or is about to die, or has become corrupted in the midst of rubbish. So every time there's going to be a revival, either for an individual soul or for a congregation of people, the essence of any revival move is God at work. And if God will not work, whatever else people have gathered to do, it does not essentially become a revival. It could be a good activity. It could be an arrangement. But every time there's going to be a revival, God must work. Even tonight, if your soul is going to experience a fresh revival, God has to work. If something is going to change from the routine that you have been going through in life as a person, if your dryness is going to suddenly finish tonight, if the emptiness that has visited your soul or your heart, if it's going to turn around, God has to work. So that's why whether we are singing and we are saying, Lord, revive your body, it is because that is the only place where genuine revival comes from. If God does not do something about your soul, nothing new can happen. You can shake your body, but it will not bring life if God does not work. So let me first note, the first thing that is essential in any revival is God in action. Is the Spirit of God in action? Is the Spirit of God at work? There may be organization. There may be movement of people. There may be arrangement. But all of that does not essentially mean a revival. The first essential matter in revival is God at work. And our cry tonight is that God will work in your heart. That what you have been struggling to do with yourself or for yourself or by yourself or in yourself and you have not succeeded, let the Lord rend the heavens. Let him come down. When God comes down, something changes. When God steps down into any man's situation, whatever that situation is, it will melt. So all the people that genuinely look for revival, they did not look around, they looked up. All those who are seeking a genuine move of God in their lives, in their generation, from place to place, they have looked up. Whether it was in the days of the Hebrides, they were looking unto God. Whether in the time of John Wesley, it was a cry. And even in our own time, it has been a cry. And if God had done something that we can talk about or we can speak about or we can identify with, it is because God had come to act. And so when we talk about revive your body, revive your body, revive your body, we are simply facing the right direction because only Him can do it. Only Him and only His action can actually become a revival in the midst of His people. The challenges we are facing, the difficulties that have come to us, if He will not arise, there's nowhere we are going. There are many good people that are very zealous, and they are spending so much money, and they are doing a lot of things, and it would have looked and say, okay, let's take men's action to become revival. Except that, yes, can put everything together. If the Lord did not act, it will just be a mere arrangement. It will never become a life. So that's the first thing that is essential. God at work. And so when we started singing that song, God is here. God is here. God is here. Whenever God comes down, that's when there's revival. Whenever God comes to a place, that's when there's revival. Whenever God comes to a man, that's when there's revival. And if I'm speaking revival, even in your own life tonight, all I'll be saying is that may God come down to you. May the Holy Spirit hit you tonight. May the Word of God hit your heart tonight. May the invisible hand of God come so strongly, irresistibly upon your soul in the name of Jesus Christ. May He who is the light without any shadow of turning, may He come upon your life. When He comes, every secret darkness, every hypocrisy, everything that you have managed to do to keep from people will become exposed and your life will melt. May God do that here tonight. May He do nothing less than that for each one of our souls in the name of Jesus Christ. If you travel everywhere and you came here and you did not meet God, you have traveled in vain. If everything was arranged and you are like a good organizer and you are not expecting God to hit you, you are not expecting God to encounter you afresh, you are just a mere organizer. But when God comes down, both the organizers and the organized are all melting because God has come. May God come down here in the name of Jesus Christ. There are times I have seen God come down. Anytime I have seen God come down in a place, in a meeting, I have always known that something permanent and indelible will take place. Whenever God comes down, even though I'm desiring that God come down in such a mighty manner that a whole city will be struck, but I have seen God come down even in a small room and the number of people there were struck. And I have seen that as they were struck, they have been struck for years. I want it on a wider scale. I want it on a national scale. I want it on a global scale. But what is essential about revival is not human wisdom, is not a human activity, is not a human arrangement, is not a human manipulation, is not a human calculation, it's not another brother pushing another man down. It is not even the shout. It is not the charisma of a preacher that brings revival. It is God at work. Please, close your eyes and say, Lord, work on me tonight. That's what, that would be the essential thing. Lord, I have come here. If I meet men and I didn't meet you, it's a waste. If I hear people and I do not hear you, if I go through the whole activity and you did not come down, I have traveled in vain. Lord, Lord, come down. Come to me. Come and do something in my life, even tonight, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to go quickly to verse 3. Turn us again, O Lord, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. What is the second thing that is essential? even though I'm looking at this as the second thing that is essential, I want you to keep knowing deep down in your heart that everything else that I will be listing as essentials of revival, they are always done by God. Are we together? But what is the second thing that is essential in a genuine revival? You see it in that verse 3. Turn off again. Turn off again. Every revival is a turning again. It's a returning to something that we lost. Is a turning of our attention. Is a turning from sin, from sinfulness, from worldliness, from everything else that has come between us and the Savior. Let me inform you that whatever it is that has reduced your intensity of fellowship with God, your intensity of obedience to God, your intensity of your walking with God, whatever it is, even if it appears harmless, but it has insulated your heart from the sensitivity you used to have with God and the fire with which the Holy Spirit used to burn in your life. These are situations that requires that God will turn you again. So every time a revival comes, there is a turning. There's a turning of heart. There's a turning of people. There's a turning. A turning again. A turning to the Lord. A turning to the Lord. When I look at the word, turn us again. Turn us. Turn our eyes. Turn our heart. Turn our direction. Turn us again. When I saw him saying that repeatedly, you will notice that you find it in verse 3. Did you find it in verse 3? Did you find it in verse 7? I'm not hearing you. Have you found it in verse 7? And did you find it even in verse 19? As you keep reading, you will notice that the matter of turning, turn us again, turn me again. So I want to say that revival essentially requires repentance, returning, a turning again. When the prodigal son went and joined himself to the citizen of that country and wasted his life, the Bible says when he came to himself, he said, I will do what? I will now go back. I will go back to my father. I will turn again. While we are saying, Lord, revive your body. Actually, what we are saying is, Lord, turn us again. Turn our lives again. There's somebody in this meeting, even though generally it will look as if everything is nice, but the direction in which your life is facing now is not right. And God must turn you again. When God comes to turn a man's life again, That's the beginning of revival for that man. That's the beginning of revival for that woman. Turn me again. If there is no turning, if people only sing, if they only dance, if they only jump up, and there is no essential turning back to God, turning from sin, turning from wickedness, turning from lukewarmness, turning from the love of the world, we cannot say we are actually having an essential revival. Some people think revival would include, would be noise. There may be noise in revival, but the noise in revival is not the revival. Are you hearing me? There will be happiness. A lot of people will be excited. There will be excitement sometime in revival. But the excitement in a revival is not the essence of the revival. Because the trouble between God and man is a matter of sin. It's not the matter of shouting. It's not the matter of singing. And I want you to know that singing is not peculiar to us. Is the Christian the only people that sing? Talk to me, please. Do sinners sing? Do they dance? Do they make merriment? Did the Bible say they will be making merriment, they will be dancing, they will be giving in marriage and receiving in marriage until they went to hell? Did the Bible say that? Yes! So to think that dancing, making merriment even in church service, is equal to revival is a mistake. Sometimes I found that even churches and church pastors, they are more concerned about making people to dance, making people to laugh, making people to feel happy, as if that is an anointing. Some even go and get comedians, those who can crack jokes and make jests on the altar and make everybody to laugh. And they gave him some hour, maybe one time, maybe 30 minutes. That is his own ministration. Brothers, turn us again. Anywhere you see revival, there is a turning. There is a repentance. There is a tearing apart of the heart. On the day of Pentecost, when Brother Peter preached, even though I know many of us, we celebrate the Holy Ghost that we are speaking in tongues. And I thank God for that. Many of us think that the Holy Spirit is just about shaking your head and shaking and say, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. But let me tell you, when the Holy Ghost came down, the evidence that the Holy Spirit came is that He convicted men of their sins. How are we going to say we are filled with the Holy Ghost when you are still a fornicator? How can you be boldly speaking in tongues when you are still a liar? How can you be shaking your head in our midst as if the Spirit came upon you when you like this, you are a thief? How will you say you are in the Spirit when you just started courtship with a sister, not up to 3 months, you have started messing her up? Every time the Holy Ghost comes down as an outpouring of the Spirit for revival, there is conviction. Conviction of sin. The people cried. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? And you remember that Peter did not say anything else. He said, repent, every one of you. Repent, every one of you, that the time of refreshing from the presence of God may come to you. Repent, every one of you. And those that came out, he still said to them, save yourself from this untoward generation. You can't mix up with sinners anymore. Whenever there is revival, essentially there is a turning. There's a turning from sin. There's a turning from compromise. There's a turning from worldliness. If revival comes on you now, you will turn from wrong lives. You will turn from wrong company. You will turn from wrong relationships. If revival comes now, those boyfriends that are only messing around with you, you will not leave this sanctuary tonight until you will write them and say, sorry, the things I used to do, I do them no more. The boys I used to keep, I keep them no more. The lies I used to tell, I can't tell them now. There's a great change since I met the Lord. The essential of a genuine revival is that the heart of men turns as your heart turned. Have you turned? Have you turned? Have you turned genuinely to God? Have you turned from seeking help from human beings? Is your heart actually turned to God? But you are turning to other things. Turn us again, O Lord. Whenever there's a revival, there's a turning. And maybe I should say to you, when God helps a man to turn to God in penitence, in genuine repentance, in humility, all other evidence of revival will begin to follow. Sometimes we are looking for the evidence of revival, but we do not know that revival follows a process. The first is that God comes to convict you and say, what you are doing, that's not the direction. Turn! And when you turn, if you turn genuinely, if tonight you're not just going to say, well, I'm used to the word of God. I'm used to that preaching. Some will boast and say, yes, I have Brother Gwile's tapes, more than 1,000 in my house. What does that mean? And you are beating your wife. What does that mean? Did you not hear that the Bible says, not only the hearers shall be blessed, but those who hear and do the word of God. Huh? How can you be boasting? I have attended all the holy convocation, all the laborers' convocation, all the meetings. And you are so stagnant. Your will is so hard. Your nature is very, very, very raw of the flesh. Turn us again, O God. But then the word again, you know, when you use the word again, that means we've been there before, isn't it? So revival also brings back those that used to be hot before and they are cold. Those that used to be strong before, but they have been depleted. Those that used to be sharp before, but their lives are scattered. And there are some of you sitting before me tonight. You need to turn again. Because the love you used to have with the Savior before now has died out. Before, you didn't care about money, you didn't care about anything, you care only for glory of God. But now, it has changed. Your consideration is no more Him and him crucified, you will turn again. God is going to do another work upon your soul in the name of Jesus Christ. Now I want you to look at that verse 3 before I move out. Turn us again, O God, and cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Whensoever a genuine revival is coming, men turn to God, and then there's something that happens. God's face begins to shine upon them. God's face begins to come afresh upon them. The presence of God begins to come afresh to their hearts. And that presence becomes the treasure that they don't want to lose. Whenever there is a revival, are you hearing me? The presence of God becomes palpable in the life of people. Whenever there is a genuine revival, God's face begins to shine upon us. Everywhere you go, the countenance of the Lord begins to rest upon your life. And those of us that have experienced God, we know. We know when the presence is there. And we also know when the presence has left. Let me inform you. When the presence of God comes to settle on a man's life, the presence sets him apart from everything else. The presence of God is more than a million. You may not have any dime in your pocket, but because the Lord is with you, you are more than a millionaire. Say, if God be for us, who can be against us? But you know what I'm troubled with? Is that many have lost the presence, but they are still going around. Many make a lot of noise, but the presence has left. The face is no more shining upon them. They can even preach and preach powerfully, but the presence has departed. Ichabod. The presence has gone. The glory has gone. When Samson began to grow, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord used to come upon him. He carries a divine presence that nobody could explain because of his consecration, because of his Nazarite consecration to God. He carries a divine presence. You know, sometimes when we want to describe Goliath, I mean, we want to describe Samson, we used to think Samson must be a very huge man with muscles. No. It was not muscle. It was not stature. If it was stature, people would not have been wondering the source of his power. That he had a very heavy muscle that 500 people cannot bend his muscle, they would have said that's where his power is. But he was a puzzle to everybody. He was a surprise because he was an ordinary man, but carrying the supernatural presence of God in his life. When I began to understand the essence of the presence of God in a man's life, I decided to look for it. I decided to seek the presence. The presence of God is not about your appearance. It's not about how you dress. It's not about how you shout. The presence of God is not about how you speak good English. The presence of God in a man's life is a treasure. And one of the essentials of genuine revival is the presence that settles on God's people. Permit me to tell you that the presence of God is not about noise. Sometimes, because I have been pursuing the presence, once I knew that God's presence is the treasure that a man could abide in and carry about, and it will make him different among people, the presence. It's the presence of God in a man's life that will make your message to hit men and remain with them for years. I said, Lord, let me bless. Can you please bless me with your presence? And then I saw that men like Moses, they knew the treasure of that presence, that the young man said, Lord, if you don't go with me, carry me not from here. But do you know, because many of us don't value that presence, we can go. Church has been going without the presence. A whole meeting, a whole church program will be organized, and you are not expecting divine interruption. You are not expecting anything to happen after the normal routine that you have set, because you don't even have a sense of His presence again. I have been completely unsatisfied when the presence is not with me. I fear going somewhere and I'm not seeing His presence. May I tell you that speaking in tongues is not equal to His presence? Because tongues can be just your language. And since you are not particularly looking for divine presence anymore, you can use the Spirit. You can use tongues. You can joke in tongues. Because the presence is not your pursuit. But when revival comes, one of the essentials of a genuine revival is the abiding presence of God upon your life and upon the congregation where the Spirit of God is moving. The presence. Turn us again and cause your face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. You remember how Delilah, that wicked demon, she was a principality, sponsored all the way from the pit of hell to come and dismantle this brother. But you know, when I talk about Delilah, you will think, oh, that woman was wicked. No, I'll tell you that it was Brother Samson. And there are Samsons in this meeting. There is something here whom God was planning to use mightily, but you are going down. He started touching dead things that deadens a man's spirit, things that only kills your sensitivity to God. Dead things. Dead activities. Dead works. And as he was going down, the presence of God was waning in his life. But because God is so gracious, anytime he cries, God, God, will you allow me to die here? And God said, no, I don't want, I want to use you. The power will come again. But finally, he found himself laying his head on the lap, in between the lap of a woman. That's an anointed man. Sucking the breast of a dangerous girl. And when the girl got the secret, he told her and said, look, I'm a Nazarite unto God. You know the meaning of that? I'm a man totally dedicated to God. God's presence in my life is the strength of my life. God's invisible presence that is rested on me is what makes the difference. When the presence disappears, everything goes. And if you are asking me, what am I asking for? Essentially, revival. I'm asking for the presence to come. Oh God. How could we go for a church meeting and the presence will not overwhelm us? How are we going to start singing and we are not expecting the presence to overtake us? How will a choir practice and practice and practice and practice and they are happy to present their song and nothing happens? Do you know that all the songs we sing, they are songs that came out of revival? Sometimes they will be singing and the whole congregation will melt crying. They were not singing to melody, they were singing to God. So one of the essential of revival is the presence of God that comes back. Cause your face to shine upon us. I don't know anybody in this meeting who is looking for the presence of God. Is there someone here who is saying, God, and I can't go from here feeling dry, feeling empty, feeling with dandruff in my head and speaking, but I'm very light. I'm singing, but my heart is not moved. I'm going up and down as a dry wood. Nothing is springing out of my life. Moses came to that point in his life when God said, go, go, go. I will not go with you. Angels will be going with you. Ah, Moses knew that he was in trouble. Moses knew that, you know, he said, God, you asked me to go and you have not told me you are not going with me. How will I be different from anybody else? How will these people be different from any other nation? Is it not in that you are going with us? Do you think there is a difference between a church and a mosque? Is it not the presence of God that we are talking about? What will be the difference between a church meeting, a church program, and a disco hall? How will we be doing church every week and fornicators are still picking our boys and girls? Is that not because the presence that hits men has disappeared? When the presence of God comes, I want you to read a passage that somebody read to me. Is it yesterday or 2 days ago? I want you to read Isaiah. Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33. When the presence of God comes, I'm looking at the essence of revival. If there's revival now, God's presence, God's face will shine upon you. Even as an individual, you will just know that now the presence of God has come. I can't misbehave again. Isaiah 33, verse 14, it says, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites, who among us shall dwell with the burning fire, who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings. He that walks righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppression, that shaketh his hand from holding upright, that stoppeth his ears, from hearing of blood, and shutted his mouth from his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on earth. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. When there's revival, the presence of God makes sinners to be afraid in Zion. Hypocrites, fearfulness fall on hypocrites. Lord, you will do it again. Even though many people are coming around, but the cry in my heart is that the essentials of revival that we are looking for, when righteousness will grip the heart of men, when those that are genuine believers, if you read in the Acts of Apostles, they say nobody dared join them. You know why? If your life is not correct, you can't hide inside church. Nobody will drive you, but something will drive you. Said the sinner man runs when no man does what? Pursues him. But because the presence of God has departed, sinners are chairman of church councils. And you know, when I'm talking of church councils, some of you may be imagining I'm talking about the parish churches. No. I'm talking of even modern churches. I'm talking of where senior pastor, he's not afraid, he's sleeping with regularly church girls. He still come up and preach hot. Because the presence has disappeared. The devouring fire of the Holy Spirit will begin to be made manifest when the spirit of revival has come amidst us. Tonight, before I release you to pray, Have you lost the presence? Or some of you are saying, I don't even know how to ever carry the presence of God. I have never known the presence. I've always lived bunduku all my life. I've never felt the weight of His presence on my life. God will visit you tonight. But there are many who had experienced God's presence, but everything is dry. It's lost. You did something, and since then the presence has disappeared. You dabbled into something, and since then the Lord quietly left you. Samson said, when you cut my hair, I will become like any other man. When you shame my consecration, when you bring the razor blade of sin, the razor blade of compromise, some of you, just because you want to pass exam, you didn't mind losing the presence of God to get GTE. Since that time, you are a dry soul. You are singing, but your soul is dry. You even went and brought tithe as if you could use tithe to buy the presence of God. We don't buy it with money. You increase activities as if that will bring the presence. No. No. God can never be bribed until you turn again. Until you come in penitence. Lord, I'm sorry. Some of it was bitterness that removed the presence. You abhorred bitterness. You got yourself meddled with other people's affairs. You kept issues in your heart that God did not intend you to be involved in. And the presence has disappeared. You are now shaking your body like Samson. Samson said, I will stand up. I will shake myself. I will shake myself. The Bible said, he knew not, he wist not, that the Lord has departed from him. He became like a chicken. They cut him. They used screwdriver to bring out his two eyes. He wept like a baby. Heavens has been shut against him. What is essential about revival? The presence of God. The abiding presence. The abiding presence of my life. How would I know that I'm in revival? That presence is ever fresh. That presence will not leave me. That presence will not allow the Bible to become like literature. That presence will make my prayer life a fellowship, a communion with the Lord. Not a mere chanting of empty words. Turn us again, O Lord, and cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Please follow me. When revival has come, essentially, I want you to see how it happens. But I'll read it from verse 4, 5, 6. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. What is he talking about? When revival comes, and when men are being turned to God, prayer becomes the greatest weapon by which God's people operate. I say prayer, not money. Are you hearing me? Even though money may flow when God is moving, but I want you to know that it is not money. It is because men are turning to heaven and they are receiving their help from above, prayer. But you see, the first challenge, when men have missed it, is that even God is not interested in their prayer. They become a laughing stock in the community. They become like a struggle unto their neighbors, and their enemies laugh at them and take them for granted. We see when the spirit of revival has rested, prayer becomes the weapon by which the people of God do their battles. Can you imagine in the day of Pentecost, as they were crying to God, and the Holy Ghost came down, and the Spirit of God moved, and the people repented? The Bible said, they stood steadfastly in what? If you read your Bible very well, they stood steadfastly in what? In the apostles' doctrine, in prayer, in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread. Am I right? Uh-huh. When the Lord will begin to move in the midst of his people, men will begin to pray. I'm not talking about this kind of dramatized prayer. There will be more people who are beseeching heaven as the only source of their supply. And that's what sustains revival. I'm not talking of this kind of prayer. Selfish prayer. Prayer to kill people. Prayer to roast your enemy. You go and read the Bible, the kind of prayers that flowed when revival came to them, when the Holy Spirit was working. Go and check all the prayers in the scripture. You'll be surprised. But tonight, because I am not dealing with that, I don't want to go, I would have been asking you to read the prayers in Acts chapter 4. The prayers in Acts chapter 1. The prayers in Romans chapter 1. The prayers that Paul prayed for the Philippians, for the Colossians, for the Galatians, for the Thessalonians. You will see. Now I want you to see the description of the cry for revival in the essence of it. And if you are reading your Bible very well, you see that from verse 8, it talks about when revival comes, there is effortless growth. What do I call it? Effortless growth. The people of God grows like a tree planted by the river. Even your own personal life, you grow effortlessly. You are growing. You are growing in grace. You are growing in life. You are growing in conformity to His word and to Christ. And the church multiplies. The growth of the word of God in revival can never be compared with the growth that we are talking about now. Imagine that the Spirit of God hit and 3,000 were brought to the Lord and nobody was running up and down with them. The Lord moved. Am I right? Eh? Oh my God, did you hear me? It was not as costly. The Spirit of God just moved and 3,000 people were saved and they were all standing. Another day 5,000 was added. And I say every day God added to them as they were being saved. Growth. Growth. Effortless growth of life. These are the essentials. What is essentials about revival? There's growth. I'm not talking of organized, mechanized gimmicks. God will do it again. I'm about to stop now because I just feel that I will pray with you tonight. I just feel that God will open your own heart also. You will look for what we are looking for. You will cry for what we are asking heaven to do. Effortless growth. Growth that is unprecedented, that as you move from here now, something is growing in your life. And it, your brothers, your sisters, your colleagues cannot hide it. You can't hide it. They are affected. And every day, somebody is being added to the Lord. It's not the kind of thing that we find ourselves doing nowadays. That you take one year to plan a 3-day event, a crusade. You spend millions. You first pay money to pastors so that they can come. What's the need of that? You have to organize transport to gather people because you want them to hear you. And when you have finished the event, it's an event. May the Lord deliver us from those things. May God bring unprecedented outbursts. That as you are going, and I've seen a bit of it before, I've seen it. That's why nothing else can satisfy me. I've seen what God can do. I've seen where the Spirit of God came upon us. I've seen notorious sinners who walked to our fellowship and misbehaved. And we need, as a Father, in the name of Jesus, we give him 2 weeks to come back here and roll on the ground and repent and repent. And we saw it happen. And also shows their standing steadfast. I see where we just spoke the word of God, and a brother caught fire and said, I'm going back home now. And he went back and he couldn't keep quiet. And the whole school caught fire because fire caught him. And I've seen where schools cannot run again. They call me, say, but I believe for the past 2 weeks we couldn't run classes because every time you want to go to class, either you want to teach geography, somebody would lead us, say, excuse me, I have something to confess. Students were confessing by themselves. The principals come and say, Bragude, we don't know what to do. We can't teach again. And the Ministry of Education will not allow us. I say, no problem. Let the students gather in their classes. If they are only crying to God for repentance, for God to help them, join them. Don't quench the Holy Ghost. We are not talking of organization. We are talking about the Holy Ghost doing work. God will do it again. Amen. Effortless growth. Look at how it is described. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cut out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and you did cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. When revival comes, essentially, revival will bring growth. To bring genuine growth, it will spread, it will begin to shoot, things will happen. House from in houses, things will be happening. Nobody can organize it. God is working. And he said they were crying, why hast thou then broken down her edges? So that all they which pass by the way do pluck her. The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beasts of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and visit this vine. Those who have seen the move of God before, they know when it is lost. Those who are part of the move of God before, they know when the thing has changed. When revival comes, there is an unprecedented growth, a shooting forth. But when revival disappears, wastage. But I want to stop and say, return, we beseech you, O God. Look down from heaven and visit this vine. Please visit this vine again. And the vineyard which thy right hand has planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for yourself, it is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. let your hand be upon the man of the right hand, and upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for yourself. So will not we go back from you, quicken us, and we will call upon your name. Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. That's the sense of revival we are praying for tonight. And it is in the same sense that the cry in Isaiah says, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at your presence. I think I should stop on this tonight. I think it is time to pray tonight. And I think it is time for someone to experience God in action. I think it is time for the Spirit of God to move again in our midst. You might think that everybody here is serious because we have known how to dress as hypocrites. You think that everyone here looks spiritual because we have learned how to bury bitterness in the heart and sing. You might think that some of these brothers are spiritual because they have known how to pocket wickedness. How to live in fornication and appear whitewashed on the outside. You might be imagining, these are disciples. These are people that know the Bible very well. Because the presence of God that reveals the secret of the heart has reduced. But I sense that even tonight, God wants to start what He wants to do. Some of you are sitting here, you have lost the presence. You know that you used to know the palpable presence of God in your life. It rested on your soul day and night. But now you are light. Now you are very, very light. Something has left you. Turn us, O God, again. And cause your face to shine upon us. And we shall be saved. I'm not going to compel you to do anything tonight. I'm going to wait for the Holy Spirit to convict you. O God, who knows the in-depth of a man's heart, who knows where you are and where you are standing, who knows what exactly is the battle over your heart, He will be knocking. You will hear Him saying, I brought you into this meeting for another chance for me to walk in your life. You hear Him say, even tonight is the opening charge, but that's my own charge to your life. You need to turn. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and turn from what? From their wickedness, from their wicked way. God is here, and that you bless yours. Mama, already bending, wants to draw grateful child. Let it come. Over we pray you, let the sound, O Robo Shatta. Lord, walk again tonight. Lord, walk. Do your work in this meeting tonight. Lord Jesus. Listen, before you sing that song again, I say, God is here. God is here. And He came deliberately to bless someone, to change someone's life, to turn you around. Maybe you are used to going to a meeting and you would like to go and nothing happens to your soul. Maybe you are already satisfied that I went for laborers' convocation and you are rushing home. What has happened to you and you are going? Why do you like to waste away? As we stand in prayer, God is here. And that to bless us. He is here with compassion to forgive, to change the story. To restore the presence that you lost. To bring back the fire that died off. To bring back the face that shines upon you and that you might be saved from ruins. We will take that song. And as the Spirit of God will be moving in the midst of this congregation, those that are saying, Lord, I know what I lost. And I know where I am. I need your help tonight. I don't just want to be lost in the midst of this crowd. I want you to single me out for my blessing, for my restoration. Though I will cry for revival in the body of Christ, but for me first, dead things have deadened my life. I have touched dead things for too long. Quicken my life tonight. Let it come, O Lord, I pray thee. Let the shower of blessings fall. I am waiting. I am expecting. O revive my heart today. Father, please walk in this meeting tonight. Let it be your action to say, to forgive, to cleanse, to break the hard hearted. Every hypocrisy and hypocrite, that your help may come to us tonight, that the things we have been hiding for years, that held us captive, we might be free from it. And that the power of God, the power that saves, the power that cleanses, the power that sets free, might work mightily in this meeting tonight. Lord, as we move from place to place, from heart to heart, from row to row, as you hit our heart individually and say, but am I not speaking concerning you? Are you not the one that needed my help tonight? Lord, I ask that as people hear you, let nobody harden their heart. The God of this world, the unclean spirit that blinds the eyes of men, we bind you from this meeting in the name of Jesus. How long will you tarry in hypocrisy? How long will you stay in that place of stagnation? The Spirit of God is here. God is here. And that will bless you. As we are praying, we sing that song. If the night the Spirit of God is saying to you, even tonight, tonight is the night I've ordained for your help. I've ordained to save you, to forgive you, to restore you. You pretended for too long, but today is the day I've ordained. I want to help you. You will stand where you are. if you carry your bag or your Bible, you just walk before God tonight and say, Lord, Lord, if you still have a space for my deliverance, you still have a space to help a man like me, you still have a space, Shivas. Let there be a restoration of your fear in their hearts. Where sin has crept in and has cut them off from the source of divine life. This night, Father, forgive us in the name of Jesus. Let there be a restoration into this heart. Jesus, come in, come back to this place. Come back to this place. Tonight I ask a divine touch, the kind that turns the man around completely. That from this night, oh God, a newness of life will break forth. An unquenchable fire will be kindled in their souls. Every grip of sin and Satan on your life is broken in the name of Jesus. From here, you will never remain the same. That presence that disappeared and left you for years, this night, Father, restore it in the name of Jesus. It was David that Christ said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Let there be a restoration into this life tonight in the name of Jesus. All the object of sin and compromise, be it a relationship that is not ordained of God, tonight uproot it in the name of Jesus. Bring the axe upon the root of that tree. Every tree you did not plant in this life, cut it down in the name of Jesus. Lord, let revival begin from here. From their inner man, from their inner heart, in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, this is the only work that only you can do. Do that work tonight. Lord, I'm trusting that a fire is kindled from here. It will remain unquenchable. As they rise now, they rise to walk in victory. They rise to walk in newness. You will rise to experience God like never before. Lord, breathe upon them now. The Bible says, and you will cause your face to shine. Cause your face to shine upon them. Cause your countenance to rest upon their lives. Cause the palpable presence of God to come upon them. Satan, everything you have done, all the boar that came to ravage and waste this vineyard, the Lord rebukes you. What you have wasted, the Lord will restore. What you have destroyed, the Lord will replant. What you have consumed, the Lord Almighty will replace. What the cankerworms and caterpillars have eaten, the Lord Almighty will restore it in double in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you for the effortless, unprecedented hunger for God. We characterize them from now. Thank you, Father. Please rise, each one of you. As you rise, you will not fall again. I want you to rise on your feet now. Just rise. They rise from the dungeon. They rise from the mare. They will never sink again. When that young man rose from where he was feeding swine, And as he took a step to come, you changed his role, you changed his status, you changed his story. You will do that here tonight. And as they begin to walk from here, they are walking victoriously into that which heaven has been waiting for them. The grateful shower will come upon your lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you very much. I want you to look at me here. I'm hearing you saying that what you want to do is a divine action. Even from tonight, oh God, breathe upon me. Breathe upon me. Speak against my stagnation. Everything that seeks to stagnate me from tonight, speak against it, oh God. Set me on fire in the name of Jesus. Sharia la baba baba. Masataya baba baba baba. As the devourer tries to visit your life, let the Lord rebuke the devourer of your case. Let the fire fall on my soul, O God. Rashia baba 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 baba. Rabutaya kamborobosamba rabashanda bakundo roboskira. Rabutaya bakundo robosanda ya baba 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 bakundo roboskira. Let every shackle begin to break. Anything that ties you from flying into the fullness of the potential of God in your life, let it begin to melt in the name of Jesus. Set me on fire, Father. Daria lakata yama kundo robo samba rabashiri. Robo sanda ya baba 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 kanto robo skila. This is mine, O God. Tell God, Lord, this is your vineyard, O God. This vineyard that you planted by yourself, this is me again. This is me, O God. Suri la ba 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 ba. Sindo robo sambo robo senda mama kaura masaila. Rato korobo sanda ba 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 kanda ya ba kaura masaila. Zambo robo sanda ya ba ba kande rebosa. In the name of Jesus, everything that is contrary to the will of God around your life. Did you come here sick? Did you come here weak? Did you come here scattered? This night, even though it's the first night, we rebuke all your devourers. We rebuke every disease, every sickness, every unclean spirit. We cast them out in the name of Jesus. We release you tonight. We release you. You are born and raised not to be a captive. It is not the will of God for you to be tied down. Rise in the name of Jesus. Thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you tonight, Lord. Lord, I ask. Lord, I ask. This is mine, O God. Every line that is stretched out to you, every hand that is stretched out to you tonight, cause a fire to begin to burn in their soul. Consume everything that is not planted of you. Those who came sick, I command them to be healed in the name of Jesus. Every work of Satan anywhere, we consume it. The Bible says, for this reason the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Every work that the Lord did not plant, will put it in your life now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you tonight. Lord, I thank you for your Spirit is working now. And as you move in those days, you are moving again. Healing the sick. Setting captives free. Loosening the ankles of those that have been crippled. Tongues that have been tied. Release them in the name of Jesus Christ. From this night, Father, let the fire burn. Let the overflowing scourge of the power of God begin to flow. Reset and revive each soul that has stood before you here. Bring them back to the fullness of your purposes. And cause your presence to heavily rest upon us. Thank you, Father. As this meeting continues, oh God, we ask that it will rise in strength. It will grow in conviction. It will increase in revelation. And above all, Lord, there shall be a revival. And that from here, oh God, the body of Christ will be impacted. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed.